Hello and welcome to the NRF1 podcast on Acast, on iTunes, and now on Future Radio in Norwich. It's already 2 down, 19 to go, incredibly, after Bahrain this weekend. And of course, Zakir said hello to F1 2016 style, and it was all right. One thing that 2016 style certainly seems to be the liking of is Nico Rosberg, not so much Lewis Hamilton's start procedure. As for our panel for our review of the Bahrain Grand Prix, we have a bumper one of lovely faces. There's a lot of intent in people's eyes, which is what I like to see. I'm going to go round from left to right with the panel. We've got Kyle Cumbers here. Kyle, are you well?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, a bit bleary around the eyes, as normal, but that is to be expected. Motoring correspondent, I'm going to call him, David Tillier. DT is here. Great to see you, Dave.
Yeah, good to be back again. I'm here having just only finished watching the race about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, fresh, so fresh.
It's fresh in my mind.
As fresh as that beard you're wearing now. And DT arrived in a 1998 Honda Civic Estate, which, to be honest, sounded just like McLaren does now. So good work on that, DT. Steve Russ here. Steve, you well?
Hello. Yes, good. Thank you. Yeah, as always.
It's quite exciting getting this on Future Radio, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, it's good. It's good. I like it.
Good news. Good news for the NRF1 podcast. And, of course, for Future Radio, obviously. Richard Baxter's here. How are you doing, Rich?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Enjoying the bit of sunshine we've had, so.
It's almost like Bahrain in Norfolk.
Yeah, about 20 degrees less hot, but it's all right. Sun's all good.
Well, we'll take it. We'll take it. Okay, then. Well, let's get to the racing then, shall we? Nico Rosberg winning. It's his second win of the season, 2 out of 2. He's won 5 on the trot. He now has 16 Grand Prix wins, which equals Sir Stirling Moss's record of most Grand Prix wins without a world title. And I speak as the man in the preview podcast who said, he's never going to win the world title. And I even asked you after Melbourne, no, it's still not going to happen. Anyone want to change their mind? Anyone want to get on this Nico Rosberg bandwagon?
I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon per se, because I'm still not the biggest fan of Nico Rosberg, but he does seem to have possibly the coolest head at the moment, and the results speak for themselves. He's got a nice healthy lead in the championship. He's kind of where Lewis was last year. I still think Lewis has got it in him to bounce back. You know, it's still really early days yet, but if Rosberg's going to do it, this looks like his best chance for sure.
I would agree with it's his best chance, definitely, but we still don't know for sure what's going to happen. If it's the second race of the season, it's kind of hard to predict yet who's going to win, because I mean, one retirement and for one other person to win, he's suddenly not leading anymore. So anything can happen in Formula One, as Murray says.
He does say, but Lewis can't start his car properly.
He can't at the moment. Everything else is going quite well for him. Qualifying, well, his race pace looks quite good. But you kind of think he'll be able to sort that out pretty soon. So if he can get a good start, then I'm sure he'll start dominating again.
Yeah, I'm surprised no one's twitching at all. I'm twitching, and I was convinced that it wouldn't.
I was just considering my response to this question. No, I just want to remind people what Jenson Button said, what it was like against driving with Hamilton as his teammate. And he said what it's like when you beat him, or if you beat him consistently. And he says it just makes him work harder, and he always comes back, and he doesn't just beat you, he absolutely destroys you.
Well, isn't that the one? Isn't that the one? Have we got any concerns over Lewis? Because clearly during the winter, with all the things he was getting up to, you know, that was the big point. Is he going to take his eye off the ball? I mean, he didn't seem that fussed after coming third. It was, of course, in Bahrain this time around. He didn't seem too fussed that anything had gone wrong. He was perfectly happy.
I think he's kind of got to the stage now where he's appreciating more for everything that's happened. He's got 3 world titles. He's pleased to do that. That was his aim, really, when he set out in Formula One, and he's done it. So, I mean, he might be taking a year just to kind of let that settle in a bit, but I mean, I think he's still going to fight for it every bit, but we know how good he is. And I mean, last season he didn't exactly relax and stay in at the weekends, shall we say, when they weren't racing anyway. He was out all over the place, so I mean, he's used to that kind of lifestyle, it seems. And yeah, mate, I think he's just a bit more grateful for what he's getting now than he had been previously.
Did anyone else notice Nico Rosberg's eyebrows? They seemed remarkably preened.
Yeah, it's just you, Michael.
No,
no.
They were remarkably I just thought, here's a man who's on it, because just look at his eyebrows. There you go. That's the sort of insight you get here on the NRF1 podcast. We'll touch on the start of the race, shall we? Because it was carnage. It was like Dodgem cars. David Coulthard said it was like first day of school. Everyone had forgotten how to drive. They just drove into each other. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, Bottas was got a bit keen, should we say, in the first corner. Which, the corner was never his, and it was just a lunge at the last minute. But yeah, I mean, how many bits and pieces of wings and stuff were flying off the first five laps? It was brilliant. That's what, you know, that's what we want to watch.
With the penalty, right? Did we all agree with it? Was it a bit harsh?
No, I think it was fair, to be honest. I mean, when I looked at the onboard with Bottas, I mean, he had a clear view. It wasn't a case of, you know, he sort of come from sort of being side by side with him or something like that. There was no real excuse. It was just poor. It was just poor.
Sorry, Richard's just showing us a picture of, well, Nico Rosberg's eyebrows, I assume. What do you reckon, having just seen that picture, Rich?
He's definitely had some wax work going on there.
Well, there you go. See, this is the look of winners. Anyway, the more replays you saw of Valtteri Bottas, it did seem like he was pushing a gap that wasn't there. Same time, should Lewis have cut back? I mean, it is a very tight corner, that first corner, isn't it?
I mean, the first time I saw it, I thought you could argue 50-50. You know, Bottas put his car there and Lewis was coming across. But at the same time, Bottas should have known that Lewis was going to come across and he was going to take that space, you know. So I think it was possibly a little bit of a silly move that early on in the race. Maybe should have. But, you know, first corner antics are always going to be fraught with danger. And I think it's just one of those instances. The penalty was probably fair. But you know, I wouldn't say anything bad against either driver for what actually happened, really.
Before we get stuck into the rest of the field and the rest of the race action, we have to revisit qualifying because it's a major talking point. To the point that we're even altering our recording schedule here at the NRF1 podcast to try and get in the latest shenanigans, following on from whatever they decide, following on from Sakir. But Quali, I assume we all took it in and we all had a look at it. Was it that bad? I don't think it's that bad. I don't. Is it?
It was better, but I still don't think it's a system that actually overly works. If I was being completely fair, I would sort of say maybe let's give it some more time and some tweaks. But it still doesn't seem like a system that really is going to be of any use. You know, you still had the guy waving the checkered flag for no one.
But we had Lewis going, they were out there going for a quick lap with a few minutes to go, I suppose. It sort of jumbled things up a little bit at the rear end in Q1, Kyle?
I just think it's awful. Absolutely awful. I was just sitting there going, this is you had Nico Hülkenberg driving around, I don't know if it was Q2 or Q3, with 4 or 5 minutes to go, with himself. Oh, he's by himself on the track. You've got everybody on the pits just watching him go around, and it was the same rubbish every week. People go out, the first three get knocked out, and then you get another run, and then 3 minutes to go, the session is over. We just sit there, wait for the flag, we do it again. Q3 wasn't too bad because you had four cars that maybe could have got pole, but that'll be the same, the old system. And I just sort of looked at it, I looked at the number of laps in total. I think there's 200 laps done, I think, last year with three less cars because Button didn't qualify. There's 240 laps done. So if you could add another 10 on each, the spectators there aren't seeing enough cars. And that's part of the reason why it came in, because promoters were saying there's not enough action, where we're losing cars too early. You know, these cars need to be on telly for their sponsors, which F1 is struggling with. I just think it's dreadful.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Well, this is actually the first time that I've seen this format of qualifying. I missed it last race out, so this is my first chance to actually sort of watch it and take it all in and sort of decide what I thought of the whole charade. At first I thought, actually, this is pretty good because we've got some interesting cars out of position. You know, that traditionally the back end of the grid is nearly always roughly the same. If you might have a few big hitters that go out, but this actually mixed up the back end of the grid a bit. I thought, okay, maybe this is a bit more interesting. And then as qualifying went on, it kind of made me realise that actually, no, the new format is just a steaming pile of excrement.
Do I have to beep that? No, I think that's fine. Well done, Deeds.
I chose my words very specifically there. You know, as has been said, we ended up with the end of Q3 with no one out on track, and you know, the poor lonely flag guy waving a checkered flag to no one. That's got to be bad, you know. And you haven't got that last sort of ditch run for the end of the session that you had before, and that's where I think we're missing out. Yes, it's mixing things up a bit, but you're missing that opportunity for people to really fight for that fastest lap time. That being said, we did end up with the first lap time that was faster than a V8 engine car in the current range. So, yeah. You know, hats off to Lewis Hamilton for a big lap.
A big moment. I mean, to me, I agree. I think Q3, you could go back to how it was. I don't think you have to change it in Q2 and Q1, personally. But I tell you what's worse, aggregated lap times. Can you imagine if they bring that in?
That's just going to be crazy. I'm getting a bit fed up of the whole qualifying thing now. I just think, let them set a time, let the grid line up, because the racing so far this season has been brilliant and no one's been talking about the racing. We've been talking about stupid qualifying formats, quite frankly, and you think, why don't they just sort it out? Why can't you just have one boss, the teams, the drivers just agree on something? Because they're not just letting themselves down, they're letting the fans down. That's my little rant. And it says at the start of the races, doesn't it, Bernie says whatever. I just feel like saying, forget what Bernie says, listen to the fans, because they're the ones at the end of the day who are paying the money for the teams and everyone to keep going, really.
The sport is in a massive political game at the moment, isn't it? It's like warfare.
Yeah. I've got a quick idea that just come to me for qualifying. Bring back qualifying engines that go bang after one lap.
Oh,
fantastic. Because then it is a bit of a, you know, it's a game of chance in there, and it, you know, it might go pop halfway through the lap, but you know, you've got maybe like a 1600 horsepower engine, you know, that'd be quite interesting, do you not think?
I love it. Just bang it. Well, and then we'll get into Pasta probably being sent out on a lap and seeing who can send out. Or he can qualify the car for you if you want. You know, it's like a bonus lap. Surely give them more tyres. Would that help if they had more tyres just for qualifying?
I think it would, but it'd help a little bit, but I still think you'd get... I haven't got enough time to refuel, and it's just... I think the end of the sessions will always be quiet, because you can't risk going out that late to do a lap time. If you're worried about getting knocked out, you're going to do it before.
So. Do you have separate sessions? You could have it all in one go without breaking it up and just have the ticking time bomb and the last, and then a shootout for the last 10 minutes.
I mean, in Q3, you could cut the time down and then make it obligatory that everybody has to do two timed laps, and you could bring sticky tyres back like we used to have, you know, just for Q3. So if you get through a Q3, your reward is that you can use a brand new tyre and you can use your sticky tyre just for the qualifying.
I think in the old system, I think Q1, Q2 will be quite interesting anyway, because the back end of the midfield is really close anyway. So you're going to have, in the first quality, you could have a dozen cars all worried about getting knocked out, and you all got them flying over in the last couple of minutes.
It's a fair point. We're going to have to draw a line under it because it's qualifying, isn't it? And we're all sick of it. And by the time we do another podcast, we'll know what the qualifying is going to be going forward, because obviously they'll have made a decision, won't they? You're listening to the NRF1 podcast on Acast and Future Radio. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. Okay, so let's start off at Ferrari, shall we? Sebastian Vettel's engine blew before he got to start the race, Rich, and you spotted it.
Yeah, I did. I was shouting at the TV, actually, because the commentators decided to ramble on about something else that wasn't in front of him, it seemed, at the time. But yeah, we kind of had a shot kind of ending, and you just saw a big puff of white smoke from Vettel's engine, and I was just like, his engine's blown up, hasn't it? And then about 30 seconds later, the camera crews, or the director of the camera teams or whatever, picked it up, and the commentator goes, oh, his engine's blown up. And that really infuriated me, when it's just like, it's in front of you, just look at it, that's your job, talk about it.
I think it was the first time that a Ferrari's engine had had blown on the way to a grid since 96. I think 98 was a late 1990s. I mean, they have to be worried about their reliability, don't they, Steve? Because, you know, Kimi's engine blew in the last race, and this is a car that they've pushed the envelope on to try and get a bit more performance out of compared to last year.
So, I mean, and they only have five engines for the season now. I mean, you won more than last season because you've got the extra race, but, well, presumably two have already gone, you know, one for each driver. Unless I'm, correct me if I'm wrong on that one, I think Raikkonen had a new engine for this race, so it's two gone.
Worrying times, and these are the guys who are supposed to be competing. I mean, is there actual pace there? Because Kimi loves Bahrain, and he delivered again. Eight podiums, is it, in Bahrain, did you say?
Eight podiums, no wins, so...
Oh, so he's not that good, really.
No, but it's a shame he sort of fell behind the Williams and Ricciardo, because it'd been interesting to see his pace if it had sort of gone with Rosberg. But you do wonder if there's so much pressure to catch Mercedes over winter, if they have just pushed the performance too far and sort of worrying about reliability later. But yeah, you never know. It might just be coincidence that an engine's gone on each car the first two races.
That's what they'll be hoping. Let's talk to the man with the Honda, McLaren DT. Jensen went out, which seemed, you know, miserable and disappointing. Fernando Alonso didn't make it onto the grid at all because of his injuries. So Stoffel Vandoorne took over, and I thought it was a pretty spectacular debut in places.
Yeah, I think I don't want to jump the gun a little bit on the podcast, but he's probably my driver of the weekend. Absolutely fantastic debut outing for him. And it pains me to say, because I'm notorious for not liking anyone that Jensen is paired up with, especially if they start to do quite well,
or if they're lined up to take over off from him, perhaps.
Well, that's the thing that worries me, you know. I think that it was a mixed weekend for McLaren. The engine going is not unsurprising. You know, they've done a lot of work to this engine, and although the reliability has been improved, we don't know how much better.
Good pace in qualifying, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're definitely making steps. You know, clearly they've got something that they can build upon, and now they're sort of starting to fight with the midfield. Mm. But it's still very much sort of the back end of the midfield rather than anything more exciting than that.
Kind of did for Renault a little bit, I think, because in practice it became quite clear that the team they were trying to target was far too quick for them, and they couldn't. And from that point on, Jolyon Palmer, I don't think he made the start. And Kevin Magnussen had a bit of a mare. He went through a red light, didn't he, during one of the practices in the pit lane, which is why he ended up starting from the pit lane for the race and didn't really get much further.
He was called in for the weighbridge during one of the practice sessions and just went through the red light, which, when you saw the replay, was a little bit unlucky, because there was a car ahead of him. I think it was a Red Bull. And that sort of pulled off. So I think he thought, oh, that's for him, I'm fine, and carry on. So maybe that was a bit harsh in a practice session.
Red light's a red light. True. Kyle, red light's a red light. Williams, they kind of conceded after the race, so they have lost ground on their rivals, and they are playing catch up compared to where they were last year. And I don't think we really need to talk about Force India, other than the fact that they are off the pace as well. I don't know what's happened there, whether they just haven't pulled out a new car and it's the same car going round.
Yeah, I don't know. I was expecting good things from them, to be honest, especially after some of the testing times. They showed pretty good pace, but I don't really know what's going on there. They should be really top 10. And I think this is probably the first time Force India have actually taken a step backwards in probably a good last 5 years or so, really.
We will give Sauber their customary mention. There you go, that's it.
I will just say, in Sauber's defence, first few laps had a real good ding-dong. Did Ericsson and Nasser, actually we've got their names in, but no, they did have quite a good battle for a few laps, and there was a bit of contact, so at least they put on a bit of a show.
Absolutely, and Nasser was livid with the state of his car. He really wasn't happy with it at all. Manisha Kaltenborn wasn't at the race weekend at all, apparently for a prior commitment, so she didn't get fined. But there seems to be some strange things going on at Sauber, which I have a feeling is going to come to a head at some point. Manor showed up, and Pascal Wallin showed a little bit of quality. Steve, impressed with what he did? Certainly in qualifying.
Yeah, I mean, for a team that probably has got forgotten about, you know, with sort of other new drivers coming in, and, you know, obviously Renault going in as the old Lotus team. But yeah, I mean, they showed up and they did okay, actually. You know, you can't... you can't really criticise them. I mean, with what resources they've got, which we presume is very, very small, they did all right in qualifying.
A lot of changes there as well in terms of the ownership of the team. I don't think Rio Haryanto got mentioned all weekend. He didn't drive into anything either, so that's good.
I didn't see him in the race.
I think he was there. Was he there? I think he was there. Yeah, we're getting nods.
But no, that's pretty good. Yeah,
he finished
17th, lapped.
Well, who wasn't?
Just looking at the fastest lap times, actually, he set a 1:36.6, whereas if you look at Ericsson, who was 12th, got a 1:38.0. And where's he gone? Bottas got a 1:37.0. So he's faster than a Sauber and a Williams, to be fair to him, but he wasn't really anywhere, to be honest.
We should cut him a break then, shouldn't we, really? A little bit, possibly. We spoke about Force India wheeling out possibly last year's car for this year. Are Haas wheeling out a Ferrari from last year this year, Kyle? Because since that's been mentioned to me properly, I had a proper look and I'm like, that does look a lot like a Ferrari. I'd be curious to know what the lap times are actually compared to what Ferrari were doing around Bahrain last year. I've got to work that out.
Yeah, probably. Well, they're so much quicker, weren't they? So they're probably quicker than last year's.
No wonder it's the best car Romain Grosjean's ever driven.
But yeah, just using the maximising the rules.
Absolutely. But I mean, Grosjean, you must be impressed by what he's doing there.
I think a lot of that sort of finish was due to him, really. He's driving really well at the moment. And yeah, I think it's good for Formula One. It's a good story to have, you know. The Leicester of Formula One.
Leicester of Formula One. And they backed it up. Another, was he fifth this time?
Fifth,
the back of a sixth. So that's great stuff. Red Bull, DT, the watch engine is quick.
Yeah, well, I mean, they had a bit of a... They had to manage their race, didn't they? Because obviously Ricciardo had a bit of a scrap earlier on in the race. And then Kvyat, I don't know where he started quite way back, didn't he?
Long way back, didn't have a particularly good...
Yeah, so he had a pretty poor qualifying, so he had to... I think... I wouldn't say quick, but they're a solid contender. And I think they showed that they have better race pace than Williams, which I think are their closest rival at the moment. So, overall, good result. And that's possibly partially due to Ricciardo also being fairly handy behind the wheel as well.
Not bad, is he? Not bad at all. Old Daniel Ricciardo.
Although, I have to, going on from your comment about Rosberg's eyebrows, have you not noticed that Ricciardo is looking closer to his Italian lineage than he's ever looked before, with his little sort of Super Mario moustache and beard and his sort of curly hair? There was a shot of him inside the car and I thought, he's starting to look a bit
Mario Kart,
but maybe more Luigi than Mario, maybe.
I hadn't noticed that. I can't wait to notice it.
Maybe that's a sign for next year, where he's going to be driving.
Hey, dum dum dum. It's going to be fun with the old driver market. I think I predicted that this would be Kimi's last season. So less of that racy stuff, Kimi, please. Less of that. Toro Rosso picked up their first ever points in Bahrain. So good, well done them. That's all they get. And Max Verstappen finished sixth. So, you know, well done, Max. Backing it up. The only other garage or pit stop we wanted to make, Channel 4, their second race of coverage. I think a few of us watched what happened on Channel 4. I thought Mark Webber wasn't as good this week, really. And I'm not sure about the whole double-teamed grid walk.
The one thing I did like about that double-team grid walk was when they kind of had a little kind of blast at Bernie at the start, because obviously Bernie Ecclestone said a lot of rubbish about drivers, to be honest. And they said, oh, yeah, let's show them what we can do. And they just walked into each other. Just obviously it's scripted, but I just thought, that's brilliant. Just I wish Bernie was standing there right at that time, just to see it.
We also had Susie Wolf making her TV debut, at one point having to interview her husband, which was awkward.
I can't even remember what she said, but she was definitely...
He said he couldn't hear her, and then it just got really awkward.
She was a welcome addition to the team. Raised the... How do I...
Oh God, don't take us off air, please.
She was insightful. She's driven some of the modern cars.
She drove the car last year.
Yeah, so. She clearly knows how to handle herself around the camera. And I think she's quite a good addition to the team. She, you know, adds a slightly different perspective from the other guys. Also quite nice to look at as well.
God, dear. You're doing so well.
You have to say she's probably about 20 times better than Susie Perry was ever in Formula One.
Bless old Susie. Thing is, Mark Webber's still the best looking one there.
Webber nearly swore at one point as well.
Well, isn't that constant?
Well, he was interviewing someone and he said shh, and then he quickly managed to change his words. And
oh, now I'm on TV, mate. Oh no. Steve Jones. Who's Simon Jones?
The cricketer.
Yeah, good point. He was a great cricketer. The injury robbed him of a great career. Steve Jones. I mean, he's all right. I'm not really deciding. You know, he's just doing what he does. I mean, he's not doing anything different to how he does. And I had a look at his profile on Twitter and just did a search because I think I was looking for something that he said that I didn't quite catch. And my goodness me, he's been absolutely slated by a lot of people. I know that is pretty much how Twitter works anyway. I know how that works. But, I mean, it's happening. People are saying he's letting the coverage down.
No, I don't think so. I think it's quite nice to see someone actually new to it. I mean, to be honest, I actually got in touch with Channel 4 and said, are you going to be just taking everyone from the BBC and keeping it the same boring, bland people? Not all of them, but some of them I found that way. And they haven't done that. They put someone new in who's clearly a fan after you saw him in the Mercedes garage kind of marvelling at everything in there.
But,
I mean, who wouldn't be? I mean, if any one of us, I'm sure, was offered the chance to present it, I'm sure we'd be exactly the same and we'd take it up straight away.
Yeah, see, some people, that might be the issue for them because they don't want me going, oh my God. But it's a great point, Rich. Did Channel 4 reply to you?
They did, yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they said, thank you for your kind words.
That's what we're going to do.
And keep an eye on the site. We'll, on this page, sent me a link. We'll have updates on there in due course. And yeah.
Oh, see, I like that. That's a touch of class that is right there. Okay, well, you are listening to the NRF1 podcast here on Future Radio as well and through Acast. Let's bring you the of the weekends, which we do and we debate through. So, driver of the weekend in Bahrain, votes please. Cool, you're quick on that one, Rich.
Well, this is quite long for me because there's so many people who had a good race. Grosjean did well, Ricciardo did well again, Verstappen did well, going through the list still.
You might just need to say one, though.
The Fairline did well, of course, but I'm going to give it to Van Dorn because it was his first race.
Stoffel Van Dorn, some great overtakes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he really kind of handled himself well in the car, first time in an F1 car, and I think he said after qualifying or practice how different it all felt, and to bring home points as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was brilliant, but it was such a good race. There were so many other people who did brilliant as well. So
McLaren's first points, and the guy flew in from Japan before free practice. Just nuts. I mean, fantastic performance. He'd probably get my vote, but who else?
I think Grosjean, for what I mentioned earlier. I think, that's fifth and a sixth in the new team is, yeah. And a lot of that's down to him, I think. So, yeah, the Swiss Frenchman.
I'm sure there'll be a pint in there for you somewhere as well, Kyle.
Yeah, well, as I said earlier on the pod, Van Dorn gets my vote. Great debut, very racy, you know. Good wheel-to-wheel action. Not a perfect weekend by any stretch of the imagination. There were a couple of things. There's something to do with his pit stop. I think he was a bit long on one of his pit stops. You know, but it's a learning thing. But actually, for a debut, very, very good.
I would agree with that, but for something different, Kvyat, because he had to come from a long way back, and he got seventh in the end. So I would go for that for something different.
Yeah, I think that's a good shout. Team, who shone constructor-wise? Are we going to say Mercedes again? Manor?
I kind of want to say Red Bull, just because if you look where they were last season and the kind of turnaround they've made. And as Steve mentioned, Mirko Kvyat had a good drive. Ricciardo again was up there, just missed out on the podium. So I think I'll give that to Red Bull.
Yeah. I think I'll second that. I think the stuff that happened to Red Bull, both in qualifying and throughout the race, wasn't anything to do with the team as such. It was either driver error or someone had driven into them. So overall, I think they managed their race really well and ended up with a really solid set of results.
Mm. Happy with that, Steve?
Yeah, I would go with that, to be fair. Yeah.
Agreed.
Motion passed. Pasta of the weekend. Who got it all so horribly wrong? Poor old Pasta. feel a bit guilty about this one still. Rich doesn't.
I think Williams, really. It's not gone back. Seems to, yeah, just it's a shame they've gone that far back in a way. Seem to be wearing their tyres. Sort of poor strategy. Everybody else seemed to realise that the super soft tyre was the tyre to be on, and they sort of going around on the medium. It's a bit of a shame, really. I think that's probably why they're my goat or pasta.
Pasta, so. Pasta goat. That's something that's a curry, isn't it? Anyway, okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, I can't really come up with anything better, to be perfectly honest with you. There are a few things that happened. The first lap had quite a few kind of goatish moments.
Certainly pasta.
Yeah, so definitely some pasta moments. Yeah, but probably Williams, maybe Ferrari with the engine problems, but you don't know whether or not that was just something random. And Sauber just being, you know, Sauber.
I would argue you could give it to Lewis for his start because he mucked up again, but there we go.
You could do, but for a slightly different one, and it will surprise you, Johnny Herbert.
Oh, God, tell us more, Steve.
Did anyone see his slight to do with Alonso?
No.
I heard about it.
Did you hear about it?
Tell us all about it.
He was standing somewhere sort of out the back area, I think, not around the pits, and they were talking about Alonso and his crash, and he was sort of saying that he thinks that Fernando should retire and he's past his best, generally along those sort of lines, not quite word for word for that. Somehow Fernando heard this, it must have been somewhere nearby, came up to him and said, am I retiring? I think it was going on like this, and he sort of said, did you ever win a world championship, to Johnny Herbert? And he sort of said, I've won a world championship. The reason why you didn't win one and you're a commentator is because you're here. And it was all along those sort of lines. And then he didn't even give Johnny Herbert a chance to respond. He just walked straight off out of there.
Go down as my highlight of the weekend as well. Wow, that's fantastic. That's my highlight of the weekend now and I haven't even seen it. Fantastic stuff. Awesome. Rich, did you get a go?
I mean, it's kind of along the Williams line, but I'd just say Bottas because he did get a really good start. It was really well positioned, but he just seemed to leave his braking too late because he was never going to make that corner tight enough and he was always going to go quite wide. And I mean, if he hadn't done that and kind of disrupted his own race, he could have been in for a good result, actually. So
absolutely. I wanted to suggest the fact that there were adverts while the drivers were in the green room on Channel 4, so you didn't actually get to see that bit until the end. I'm not a fan of that. They need to get those adverts done before they've done in the green room.
And if you watch the live race on the on-demand function for Channel 4, they put adverts, they just drop them in randomly, which is really annoying. So they don't, although they say, you know, there'll be no adverts during the live coverage, there are adverts on the on-demand, which I know they can kind of get away with. You know, you're not missing anything because it just comes back in again, but it's a bit frustrating.
They did miss Lewis Hamilton's pit stop as well in the second pit. He took second pit stop, didn't he? They missed that out completely, the highlights, which seemed a bit bizarre because, like, oh, he's now miles behind. I did watch the race live as well. I watched it all. A headache. Highlights of the weekend, go. What we got?
My one was actually with Alonso.
Johnny Herbert.
No, not to do with that, but actually to do with how I was going to say how professional he is after the Johnny Herbert thing. I don't know, but he seems to be kind of the model professional. He was out of the race for various injuries, one of them actually because he said he had a pneumothorax. I actually suffered that myself, which is a collapsed lung, and it's very painful, I can confirm. So I'm not surprised he was out of the race, but even though he had those injuries, he wasn't racing. He was in the garage and Van Dorn set his qualifying time and Alonso was straight to him when he got out of the car, pat on the back, well done, having a chat with him. And you just think that's great because he's actually mentoring the young driver through as well. And maybe that's what Alonso could do if he does retire.
Top call. Like that.
I think also going on from the Alonso point, when Button went out of the race, the camera cut straight to Alonso and he had a genuine look of disappointment. You know, and it was disappointment for his teammates. So you can tell that those two guys, they're in it together. They're working together for the betterment of the team. They're not necessarily just sort of going head to head, which I thought was really nice to see.
Absolutely, spot on. Highlights?
Kind of a bit weird, but it's just sort of the young drivers getting a chance and doing well. Sort of Van Dorn and Verlaine, Van Dorn, GP2 champion, and Ferrari deserves it. And Verlaine, sort of youngest DTM champion, which isn't an easy championship to win. It's just sort of showing that a huge difference. If you get a driver that's not bringing a check, the huge difference they can make in a team. So,
yeah. Spot on, great call. And David Coulthard would agree with you there as well. Yeah, that's what he said.
I'd say my highlight of the weekend was seeing Manor looking racy. You know, for me, it's nice to see them finally, after all these years, looking like they've got something that they can, not only can they get a nice result out of it, but they can also do a bit of on-track battling with other people, which is good.
Absolutely, properly competitive.
What was it? Someone said like a rocket down the straight or something as well, didn't they?
It was
yeah, Magnussen, yeah, that man is like a rocket down the straight. I'm not going to get him.
Well, there we go. That's not being heard very often, that sentence. Highlight, Steve?
Probably just Van Dorn's debut, really. You know, it was just nice to see a reserve driver come in and do well and not just end up driving around the back of the grid, you know, like we've seen in the past when a reserve driver's had to step in.
So wasn't it also actually good to see the reserve driver actually get the drive? Yeah. Because normally they just pull somebody else in.
We don't actually want to use this reserve driver we've got.
If you remember the start of last season, of course, Alonso wasn't racing again and they got Magnussen in. And I don't think he did one lap because the car broke. So.
Yeah. Okay, well, I had obviously some really good things. Were there new lights around Bahrain? Did they have the sort of landscape lit up? Or did I only just notice that this year? Probably only just noticed that this year. Well, I liked the lights. That was a highlight for me. The tyre key was explained at the start of the race. So I missed that. Maybe they heard us. But, you know, if it's filled in, they're new. And if it's an outline, they've used, which is probably what you said last week, Carl. Sorry about that. On the grid walk... I put this as a highlight, could have been a pasta moment of the week. Christian Horner, when he was interviewed by David Coulthard and Mark Webber, it was very frosty between Mark Webber and Christian Horner. Yeah. Extremely.
Yeah, they were talking about the shoes, and I think Webber said someone else, just really quickly, a shabby chic, mate. And that was pretty much what he said.
Did not want to. It was hilarious. Given how, you know, friendly Seb and Mark had been on the podium the other week. So there we go. And also the fireworks shots at the end. They cut to them kind of nicely. It didn't interrupt the actual racing.
Because you saw Grosjean sort of completing his lap and just fireworks going on in the background. It was like, yeah.
Well done. It's only taken them like, I don't know, 10 years to figure that one out. Anyway, on that suitably vague note and niche, we should wrap this up. All the plugs, though, nrf1.uk. You go ahead to the website, blogs, Kyle's betting tips ahead of each race weekend and loads more, the Prediction League, and, of course, links to all our podcasts. It's all there on the website. We have a Twitter feed at the NRF1, a Facebook page, facebook.com/NRF1podcast, and you can email us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Loads of ways to get in touch. Use all those ways, please, between now and over the course of the week to throw anything at us, and come our next podcast in our tweets and social section, we will discuss them. You can set the agenda and we will answer your questions or give you our opinions on whatever it is you want to ask us. Free reign, dangerous territory for a podcast. We will be back in a week with the latest news, tweets and social, and previewing China, as well as how the Prediction League fared over what happened in Bahrain, and we'll get predictions in for Shanghai too. But gentlemen, Kyle, DT, Steve, Rich, thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll be back looking ahead to China, thanks to Acast and to Future Radio, and we will see you soon. Bye for now.